I was 16. She was 14 when we first met. Her youth group was preparing to do a winter youth rally, and so they decided to put on a musical. Now, I'm going to tell you the name of the musical, and some of you are going to you're going to remember this era. This is going to kind of date me a little bit. Do you remember there was a really big hit song by Michael W. Smith? And friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. Come on, no. Oh, five of you? Five of you know that song? Seriously. Okay. So they put on a musical, and Anita's church invited any other youth group that wanted to come and be a part of this musical. And I was the only one from any other place that showed up. But I met her. Now, we didn't start dating for a couple of years, but I thought she was pretty interesting. And so when she invited me to attend her church service Sunday night, that was exciting. So I would attend what was my home church. I was attending the church that I came to Christ in, the Covenant Church in Nelson, British Columbia, Sunday morning, but then Sunday night, I was at Bethel Christian Center, and Bethel is a Pentecostal church. All right, any Pentecostals in the house, raise your hands, because you know how to do that. Come on, few of you. There's more of you than is admitted to it. But all I knew is that coming to that church, there were things going on that I had not experienced yet. Now, I was really drawn to the music because if you're Pentecostal, you sing like you believe it. And I love that. And there were also a few things that took some splaining. So there that was the first time in my life I heard people speak in tongues or attempts to interpret tongues. And I thought, this is the new thing. And honestly, at first I was kind of weirded out by it. If you've ever encountered any of those settings and you did not come from a Pentecostal background, you hear some of that stuff, you're like, well, I'm not sure what's going on here. Well, today we're going to take a look at the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that talk about the charismatic gifts. We are in a series called Connected, where we're looking at what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Every Christ follower has the Spirit of Jesus living inside them. Amen? You say, Jesus, come into my life, fill me, and guess what? He does. So he shows up in your life and he starts to change things from the inside out. Something new starts to live in you. And because the Holy Spirit, that's the new thing that now resides in you if you are a Christ follower, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, it gives you a new identity. You're part of the family of God. You're a child of God. You are part of now the body of Christ, that together, because the Holy Spirit indwells us, we corporately embody Jesus in the world today. And we look forward to the day when Jesus returns in power. But in the meantime, we are the closest thing. Well, we are Jesus corporately together on earth today because his Spirit lives inside of us. And that Holy Spirit that resides in us empowers us to do things that on our own we cannot do. And that's the spiritual gifts. So we've been looking at those. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I encourage you to get your paper Bibles out, your digital Bibles out, however you're accessing God's word. We're going to put some stuff up on the screen. Pray for the media team because there's a lot of slides today. I already apologized in advance because we're going to be ripping through a lot of scripture today because I want to make sure everything we do is just grounded in the word. And more than anything, what I hope you would come away with from this week, and if you missed last week, check it out online, the podcast, the vodcast, something like that, that as we examine these spiritual gifts, so last week we looked at the first four spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today we're going to look at the next five spiritual gifts that are listed. My hope is that you would first ask yourself, What spiritual gift might I have? Is it one of the gifts on this list? Maybe it's one that's beyond this list as well, because there's another list in Romans chapter 12 that if you're in a connection group, you're checking those lists out, you're studying all those things. So what gift do I have? And that you would have conversation with one another about it. Because while we can know some things from our own self-reflection, and that is a great place to start, there are aspects of you and aspects of me that we just don't see clearly on our own. So we need the body of Christ to help us discern the gifts of Christ in our lives. So that's also why we ordered the series. So by now, those of you who are in a connection group, you're probably getting well established. You've got some, you know each other's names, you know a bit of each other's story, and you can start to speak into one another's lives. And I'm grateful that you are. So let's build the foundation by looking at this primary passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and then let's dive into the weird stuff. It's going to be so cool. All right. One more thing I should point out before we open this up. Okay, here's my hope that especially as we look at the quote unquote the charismatic gifts of the Spirit is. Because I think there is two errors that we can fall into. Or to use this metaphor, if you can imagine a road that has a ditch on one side and a ditch on the other side, there's two ditches that we want to avoid. One is the ditch of making too much of the charismatic gifts. Just because they're flashy doesn't mean that they're super, super, that they're the most important. So we can make too much of the spiritual gifts, and especially the charismatic gifts. And perhaps that's been part of your history. You've seen some of that. But the other ditch, and it's equally dangerous, is we can make too little of the spiritual gifts. So we can just write them off. And honestly, my first church experiences would probably be more leaning towards that danger, that dangerous ditch of not talking about the gifts enough. Because here's the thing. Like, God is on the move. And now maybe this is a helpful thing to bring up to anyone who's there, like you're just checking out your faith, or maybe you're sort of new to church, and if you are, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Like, we live in a world where the creator of the universe still actively interacts with creation. Like, God has things to say. And sometimes the way that we encounter God can be just intensely powerful and intensely personal, like that God, by the Holy Spirit, when God chooses to do so, can literally put sounds in your mouth, can literally put like ideas and thoughts in your head. He loves you and me and us that much. And my hope is that we would, while we are sober about how we approach the spiritual gifts, we're also open to a God who intervenes in powerful ways today. Amen. Okay? All right. So let's build our foundation and let's dive in. You ready?
Ready?
All right. Strapped in. We're going to be charismatic with the seatbelt right there today. We're going to do it. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's the foundation. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one. So are there any exceptions to this?
No.
Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, you're gifted. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, if you have invited Jesus into your heart, Jesus lives inside you, which means it's Holy Spirit stuff happening in you. You are gifted. Everyone. To each one, the manifestation is given for the, now what's those last two words?
The common good.
So here's the thing, is that God determines the gifts, and each gift is for all. God determines, let's put that up on the screen. God determines the gifts. You were right there, just next slide. God determines the gifts. All right. And each gift is, just pray. I'm going to be like walking a Britney Spaniel today. So, all right. So here we go. Let's pick it up. Verse 8. Let's go through the list. Now, to one, there is given a gift, a message of wisdom. That's the first gift. to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Oh, do I have your attention yet? To another, prophecy. What's that? To another, distinguishing between spirits. Oh, now that's interesting. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as, who determines? He determines. So we don't get to pick our own, we don't get to pick our gifts. Dear Lord, I'd like that one, and that one, and that one, not that one. We don't get to do that. What we get to do is we get to say to the Lord, yes or no. Yes, Lord, I'll receive that from you. Or no, God, I won't. But he determines. So what's a spiritual gift? Here's a good working definition. Spiritual gift is a God-empowered ability given to every believer. Why? To build up the body and glorify God. That's what the word tells us. It's to build one another up, which ultimately glorifies God. So let's start going through the second half of that list, that list of five. First one is the gift of miraculous powers. Okay, you could define that if you want to take notes, but we'll be moving fast. I'm just apologizing in advance. It's a God-given ability to pray for miracles. A God-given ability to pray for miracles. Now here's an important thing to note with that is that we're not magicians. Not like we're given the power to do miracles. Like, you know, like you don't become Harry Potter, you know. What we do have the ability to do is pray for miracles. And some people are especially gifted at praying for miracles. And God works miracles as the result of those prayers. But who's the one doing the miracle? God. You? No. It's God. Okay. So, well, Jesus told us to expect this. John chapter 14, verse 12. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they collectively will do even greater things than these. That's a powerful promise for the church, that the Jesus stuff is not over. So here's some signs that you might have the gift of miraculous powers. One, you have a strong faith in God's power beyond human reasoning. Two, you feel led to pray for supernatural interventions and they happen. Three, people experience God's extraordinary power through your ministry. Four, you have a deep conviction that nothing is impossible for God. So maybe that's you. Maybe you've experienced some of those things. Maybe you are just deeply drawn to pray for miracles and things just happen. So my hope is that if that's you, this would be something that helps you go, maybe that puts words to what I'm already experiencing. Or maybe this helps you think of somebody in your life that God has just been using them to do something like this. All right, let's move on to the next one. We're going to be moving fast, like I said. Okay, prophecy. A good working definition of this is a God-given ability to proclaim God's action. So here's a biblical example of prophecy. Excuse me. I'm going to grab some water here. In the New Testament, we're all going to be glad that I did that. Okay, Acts chapter 11, prophecy was active in the New Testament. During this time, some of the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Remember, Jerusalem's elevated, Antioch was by sea level. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. So this actually ends up being one of the things that empowered Paul's missionary journey. You know, all those passages that talk about how God loves a cheerful giver and he's all these, in all these different churches. This is because they were listening to this prophecy, knew that famine was coming, and so they started to collect money for the brothers and sisters who would be most impacted by famine. Like, world relief is not a new thing. Caring for people who lack resources is a foundational part of the church. Empathy is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. Let's make sure we know that. Christians care for people in need. Period. Period. And there are two forms of prophecy. One is you could think of this as foretelling. And this is an example of foretelling, where God gives you insight into something that will happen in the future. That's what he did with the prophet Agabus in the New Testament. And the early church heeded it, and they responded with compassion, and significant parts of the New Testament were written as a result, and that helped to foster Jewish-Gentile relationships, because the Gentiles were providing care for their Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ. So sometimes God gives insight into what's going to happen in the future for the sake of the body. But that's not the only form of prophecy. It seems like the more common form of prophecy that was exercised in the church, we're going to look into this one with much greater detail in about 2 weeks, so we're going to hit this one fast today, is the idea of prophecy as forthtelling. It's not foretelling, forthtelling, which is telling what God is doing in the present. What God is doing in the present, where God has a word for an individual or for a group of people right now. And in Acts chapter 4, one of the reasons the book of 1 Corinthians was written is that prophecy was a really significant part of the church in Corinth's worship gatherings. And so Paul was trying to make sure that they kept the prophecy and the exercise of tongues, which we're getting to in a moment, kept those things in check, so that they were a healthy part of the church rather than an overbearing part of the church. So, signs that you might have the gift of prophecy. You often sense or receive messages from God for individuals or groups. You have a strong desire to speak truth and call people to righteousness. You perhaps experience dreams, visions, or impressions that later prove accurate. People confirm that your words have brought them encouragement, conviction, or direction. So if you've had some things like that, you might have the gift of prophecy. Be open to that. And maybe there are people around you who are just exceptionally good at speaking God's truth to you. And maybe there are people who just end up with a word for you. Honestly, one of the reasons I'm a church planter and why Columbia Grove exists is the pastor I was serving under in Park Ridge, Illinois. I was a worship leader with a Lutheran church that was doing some pretty innovative things. And I was all ready to go back to continue on with worship ministry. I was involved with artist development and songwriting and all this cool stuff with the denomination, still to a certain degree am. But Fred Nelson said, "Andrew, I feel like the Lord has told me to tell you this. I really think you need to look into church planting." Now, just because somebody says, "Hey, I think the Lord gave me a message," doesn't necessarily mean that they're right. But in this particular case, after that word landed on my heart and landed on my wife Anita's heart, we just couldn't shake it. Like, everything started to confirm it and point to it. I would suggest to you that that is an example of prophecy in my life, where a person who loved God and loved me said, hey, I see this in you that maybe you don't see in yourself yet. And I feel like God is telling me to invite you to lean into that. And as we prayed about it, it confirmed that word. Be open to that. God may put a word on your heart for someone you care about or a group of people that you care about. Be open to that. God may bring somebody into your life to speak a word like that to you. Be open to that. That's one of the ways as a body of Christ we minister to one another, because the Holy Spirit works through each of us and all of us. Let's look at the next gift. This is the gift of discernment. Gift of discernment. Distinguishing between spirits. Here's a good working definition for that. A God-given ability to discern evil. Now, for 1 John chapter 4 talks about this gift of discernment. Dear friends, John writes, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So, on some level, the gift of discernment is simple. Basically, Jesus, yes, no. You know, people are like, yes, Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. Or there are people who can say all sorts of super fancy, super lofty. They sound super smart, super wise. And then you ask them about Jesus, and they're like, well, I don't really know. He's a good teacher. Or, like, uh-oh. Which doesn't mean that you don't listen to, I mean, if that's your accountant, you can still get tax advice from them. But if this is somebody that's trying to give you actual like life advice about how to pursue Jesus, beware. Beware. Like expect your pastors to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what I'm saying. So on some level, discernment is simple, but there's other levels where discernment can be pretty complex. And last week I talked about how one of my hopes is that you would identify your spiritual gifts, but also have some awareness of maybe gifts that you lack in your life. Just to be transparent, this is a gift that I actually really struggle with, which is why I need to lean on my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm by nature a pretty trusting person. So if somebody says something to me, I'm kind of like, You know, I believe you, trust you, like you. That's kind of me. Which is why I am so grateful that I'm part of the body of Christ. And in my experience, oftentimes my brothers and sisters in Christ who have been in and through recovery often walk away from that process with an extra measure of the spiritual gift of discernment. Am I telling the truth? Because people who have been around active addiction where there is significant falsehood, lying, deception, they know how to identify it. Their BS detectors are really good. So for those of us who have less developed detectors, if that's you, and this is what I'm saying to apply to any other spiritual gift, the things you go, hey, I'm just not very good at that. Aren't you glad you're part of the body of Christ? That God has placed some of those gifts around you. So there's times when if I'm needing to make a difficult decision, especially about a situation or a person, there's people I'll call up and say, hey, can you give me your perspective on this? Because I need to know that I'm seeing this clearly. I'm grateful there are brothers and sisters in Christ that have the spiritual gift of discernment. Here's signs that you might have the spiritual gift of discernment. You can sense when something is spiritually off before others like Andrew, notice, you have the ability to detect false teachings or deceptive influences. You feel especially burdened to pray against spiritual attacks or evil. Fourthly, people seek your wisdom when trying to discern God's will in difficult situations. So maybe there are some people in your life that have the spiritual gift of discernment. What a gift that is. Isn't that great? Lean on them. Okay, let's move on. I don't want to shoot the clock here. So how about gift of tongues? Gift of tongues. Okay, it's a God-given language, ability to speak a language that you have not learned. Now, the spiritual gift of tongues appears in the Bible in two ways. Way number one is as a human language. So for example, on the day of Pentecost, there's a story in Acts chapter 2. Let's take a look, Acts chapter 2, 4. So all the believers are gathered in one place, the temple courts, the house, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And the way that that got manifest is that this was a very multinational environment. So there's people speaking all sorts of different languages. And these believers, they start praising God in things that to them would probably sound like gibberish. But here's somebody who speaks Swahili going, I understand you. Here's somebody, you know, that speaks whatever that, Mandarin, whatever that dialect would be, going, I understand you. So that is the first way that the spiritual gift of tongues appears in the Bible. And though I haven't seen that one myself, I know people who, very trustworthy people, who have at times experienced this, where it's someone's on a bus and they just kind of feel led to pray out loud, and someone else who happens to speak a different language very clearly hears and understands what they're saying. And we serve a God who can do that. Okay, so the first exercise of the spiritual gift of tongues is some form of a human language. And we see that especially in the book of Acts. Now, the other exercise of the spiritual gift of tongues, you could refer to this as a prayer language, or people refer to maybe an angelic language, where it is both to the speaker and to the majority of the hearers of it. It just kind of sounds like gibberish. It's just something. And in terms of that gift, or at least that exercise of the spiritual gift of tongues, that only appears in 1 Corinthians. There's a more limited scope. I just wish there was more written about it. And it seems that this was the primary, or one of the significant worship expressions that was happening in the church in Corinth, and it was getting out of hand. And so we'll look at this more in a couple of weeks. Paul is reminding the church to kind of keep that in appropriate balance. Just keep it in appropriate balance. So here's some signs that you might have the gift of tongues, as if you need a list, okay? But you've prayed or worship in a language that you've never learned. You feel spiritually strengthened when you're speaking in tongues. You have a deep desire to communicate with God beyond words. Or maybe you experience tongues in corporate worship, sometimes accompanied by interpretation, which takes us to the next gift that we want to look at. Because in 1 Corinthians, it puts those two right back to back. So one person is praying in an ecstatic language that perhaps to the people around them just mostly sounds like gibberish. It's not actually a human language, but it's still a meaningful expression of prayer. And a God-inspired expression of prayer. And some people have the ability to understand a language that they have not yet learned. Y'all right? All my Baptist brothers, you're still with me? Okay, because remember, it's in the Word. Test everything against the Word. Okay, here we go. It's interpretation of tongues. You could define that as a God-given ability to understand heavenly language. Here's signs that you may have the gift of interpretation of tongues. You sometimes sense or understand the meaning of a message spoken in tongues. Or you feel prompted to share what you believe that God is saying after tongues are spoken. You have a desire to bring clarity and understanding to spiritual expressions in worship. Or maybe you experience confirmation from others that your interpretation of whatever you've heard aligns with what they're experiencing as well. So when, and we'll get into this in more detail in a couple of weeks. So Paul is telling the church in Corinth that if there is like ecstatic language used in worship, that we should expect that the gift of interpretation would come along with it, so that people can understand what's being said. Now, some, and I need to make sure that I'm also representing sort of the full scope of teaching here, because this is one among a number of areas, especially related to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where not every Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christian is on the same page. If you're in our membership class later today, you're going to learn that one of the distinctives of the Covenant Church, that's the larger movement that we're part of, is that we really try very hard to hold tightly to those things that all Christians believe, and the Bible is really clear about. Things like the Bible is the Word of God, the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. The fact that people need Jesus as their Savior and Lord. So we hold tightly to those things, but we hold loosely to things where there's honest differences of opinion. And honest biblical differences of opinion. And this is one of those things. So perhaps you came from a church background, or maybe you've listened to teachers. John MacArthur would be a good example of this. A good, solid Bible teacher who is what's called a cessationist. A cessationist. Which means that you believe that the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit died off with the apostles. It was something that that God gave the church for the first 50, maybe 80 years of the church's existence in order to confirm the work of the Holy Spirit and build up the church. But now it's not really needed anymore, so it's not really happening anymore. And one of the foundational verses that they use for this is actually the passage we're going to be looking at next week in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears." And this is where there's maybe some honest differences of opinion, and just to lay my cards on the table, not that you need to agree with me on this issue, that this is not a defining measure of what it means to be a Christ follower, that's for sure. I'm not a cessationist. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are active today, and that passages like 1 Corinthians 13 are about some of the things that will happen when Christ returns. When Christ returns, there'll be no more need for prophecy. When Christ returns, there'll be no more need for the gift of tongues. Because by the way, there'll be no more like human languages, human nationalities, all that is gone. We got to keep that in perspective, folks. I love the English language. Some of you, maybe Spanish is your mother tongue. And when we get to heaven, all of it's gone. We get a better one. We get a heavenly language where we actually understand each other all the time. We're going to all get an upgrade. It's going to be great. But that also helps us to hold loosely to the elements that for us as Christ followers are just cultural. By the way, when you look at the planet Earth, all the lines that we put on our maps, God doesn't see those. So we hold tightly or hold loosely to those things. But anyways, so even though I would respectfully say to my cessationist brothers and sisters that I disagree with you on this thing, and you please search the scriptures and make up your own mind on this, what the Apostle Paul, and why he is addressing the spiritual gifts, comes is he wants the church to understand their role, and he wants to understand their place. And so I want to take a look at that. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 27 through 31, because this helps us to understand how we use the gifts that we are given. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God," and then he starts talking about the roles in the church, that the gifts we have lead to various roles in the church. "God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles?" The answer is what? No. "Are all prophets?" The answer is no. "Are all teachers?" No. "Do all work miracles?" No. "Do all have gifts of healing?" No. "Do all speak in tongues?" No. "Do all interpret?" No. But then he says this, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." That helps us to understand something about this passage, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and even then the roles in the church to a certain degree, are given in a priority order. The different gifts, while every gift of the Spirit is valid, different gifts have different levels of importance to the body. So here is the big idea that I hope we can hang on to as we kind of put this passage to a close. Don't worry, I'm almost done. Okay. Here's the idea. The greater spiritual gifts are the gifts that have greater benefit to the body. The greater spiritual gifts are the gifts that have greater benefit to the body. The point and the purpose of all of the spiritual gifts are to build up the body, to encourage the believers, and by doing so, to glorify God and help the gospel to flourish and expand, because everybody needs to know about Jesus. Now, that can be a really helpful thing for us to understand. All of the gifts are valid, and God distributes the gifts in whatever ways he chooses. But there are some gifts that God calls us to seek, and other gifts that God calls us to just accept and receive. Like, you remember from last week, perhaps, or if you're reading the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, maybe turn back with me for a moment. Okay, to one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. It's as if the Apostle Paul is saying, believer, always seek wisdom. To others, the message of knowledge. Believers, always seek knowledge. To other, faith, always seek faith. To another, healing. Believer, always pray for the people around you who are sick. Now, God will do whatever he chooses to do with those prayers, but we pray those things believing in faith. And there's other gifts that would be more, we're just open to it. If maybe you're just really frustrated in prayer, you're going through a super tough time, you don't even know how to pray, and then you find language on your gibberish language on your tongue and somehow in the process of praying you just know that God has heard your heart. Be open to that. Because it seems that that's what's going on in the church in Corinth, and maybe you've seen things like this today, is the church got things a little bit backwards. They got really excited about the super flashy gifts to the neglect of the deep ones. Now, just because it's flashy doesn't mean it's fake. But just because it's flashy doesn't necessarily mean it's important either. Some gifts we seek, other gifts we just receive. And the gift of tongues seems to be one of those gifts. If God moves in your life to do that, receive it. If God moves in your heart to speak out in tongues, do that. But we don't need to make a big deal about it. God chooses what God wants to do with each of those situations. Because here's the way I hear the phrase on this one in kind of modern day experiences. This idea of, I got my worship on today. Went to church, I got my worship on. Well, that's nice. But sometimes, like, this is what the Corinthian church was falling for, and we can do the very same thing, where we actually think that worship is about us. Like, oh man, worship was great. I loved the music. Worship was great. I really got into it. Worship was great. I expressed myself to Jesus. Well, la-di-da, that's awesome for you. But if your weirdness and your expression is actually preventing other people from connecting with God, be careful. Worship is not about you. Worship is about Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit guides us to maturity, well, God can give you gifts and be open to those gifts that may be very personal, that may actually feel great as you exercise them. And if he gives them, lean into it. It's good. The greater gifts are the gifts that build others up. Build others up. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Build one another up. So here's what I hope we could do with this. We each ask ourselves, Lord, what spiritual gifts have you given me? That we're open to what God chooses to do in you. Be open to the stuff that might. Because we live in a world and we serve a God who is still actively present in this world. He can do miracles. He can speak words to you that are intensely true and intensely personal. He can even put words of prayer on your tongue. Be open to that. And we don't make too much of it either. Build one another up. So I invite you to seek God for your gifts. I so hope this launches conversation in your homes, in your connection groups. What gifts do you see in me? What gifts do you see in each other? So that we can lean on the gifts of one another. What a gift we are to one another. You are part of the body of Christ. You have unique gifts, attributes, strengths, talents. Just imagine what could happen if the body of Christ serves together and experiences the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst together. Do you long for that, church?
Yes.
I do too. So ask others, pray, be open. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this reminder that you empower your church for service. Oh God, we want to be open to what you have for us. Thank you that as we follow you, Jesus, you not only are the creator of the world and our redeemer, our savior because of what you did in the past on the cross and your victorious resurrection, And you not only are our long-term hope that one day you'll return, that one day there will be absolute justice, one day you will set all things right, that Jesus, we also remember that by your Spirit, you are powerfully at work in our midst right now. You're powerfully at work in the present right now. Holy Spirit, have your way here. Holy Spirit, Have your way in me. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. So friends, and I just invite you maybe under your breath just to talk to God about that. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. And then just be open to what he chooses to speak to you, to impress on your heart, to lead you towards. Oh, friends, God loves you so much more than you could ever imagine. His power is so much greater than you could ever perceive. So let's take a moment just to be silent before the Lord and lean into that together. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here.